And many thanks to Boom for inviting me to be here today. I'm feeling very grateful for this opportunity. So my name is Tomás. I'm Portuguese, 27 years old, and I'm a yoga teacher. And since 2 years, I started a project called the Little Buddha Project, which is about taking meditation to schools. So it came because, you know, I started going into yoga and start practicing lots of yoga and giving classes. But then I understood that it's so many people doing yoga, which is great. But I like to go in a different way. So I started to do this with the children, which I will explain a little bit further after Lucy going into the project. Also, a very interesting thing that I would like to say before to start. It was that I thought I was going to talk alone, but then they told me I was going to talk with Lucy, which is a pleasure, which is very interesting. And when they told me that Lucy was working with permaculture and agriculture with kids, I thought like, wow, yeah, this happened because it needs to happen. And I saw the connection between my project and Lucy's project, because what we want, well, what we all want is to grow organic kids, right? What we want is to have organic food. So this is the similar between my project and Lucy's project. Growing organic food, teaching them how to grow, and me connection with the self, growing organic, like going a bit away of medications and toxic things. So this is kind of very nice connection.
So we have a garden and a yoga. I don't do yoga, but I garden, so I got strong legs, but not very flexible. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am. So I'll explain a little bit about the program I work with. Like I said, I moved to Brazil with a child of about 6 years of age. At the age of 7, she was like, I want to go to school. And I'm like, okay, let's try Brazilian school. So we were living on the edge of a favela, which is like a shanty town. So the school was actually on the edge of the shanty town. We took her to a public school, and I was quite horrified at what she was experiencing. And this was a public school run by the government, and I was really pissed off. And then I thought, no, I'll leave her there for a while, see what happens. And she came back to me and said, oh, I want to leave school, I don't like it. She experienced things like, you know, she was drawing a yin and yang circle, which for us is, you know, for a lot of people here, they understand yin yang, male, female, all the rest of it. And she was told by the teacher it was a sign of the devil. And she was like, Mummy, are we devil worshippers? And then, no, Lila, we're not. So that was a really strange experience. And through my anger, I decided to write a book about how children should be educated in schools. The book was like 400 pages, but it was like half of it I was just pissed off, and I was like, bleh, 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 bleh. And then I cut that part out, and I was lucky to have the book published, and it actually became a bestseller in Brazil. It was called Escola Sustentável, which is sustainable school, and it was basically trying to teach teachers to give the freedom back to children to design their future. Before I go on any further, how many people know about permaculture in the crowd? Ooh. So I'd love to introduce you to Scott Pittman. Scott Pittman is one of the elders of permaculture. He was Bill Mollison's right-hand man, yeah, traveled the world and taught permaculture all around the world. So he has a palestra, a workshop, or a talk on the last day, on the 17th. So people who are interested, it's well worth going to hear what he says. And I'd just like to honor that he's, I'm really proud that he's actually here. So going back to permaculture. So I was lucky enough to find a few crazy directors of schools, public schools, that allowed me to run a few experiments. And the experiment was to let the children redesign the schools. Brazilian schools are quite interesting. For people that, you know, go to schools from 9 to 3, they have the first school group is from 7 until 11. That's usually 5, 6, 7 year olds. So they need to be at school from 7 to 11. Then they go home. Then from 1 to 5, you have middle school. And then from, I think, 7 to 11 at 11 in the evening, you have the older teenagers, all sharing the same classroom. Okay? So you can imagine it. You know, little kids, they want to put, you know, the people that go to nice little Anglo schools, we draw pictures, you know, the teacher proudly places it on the wall and you see it the next day. Not in a lot of public schools in Brazil, because if you draw, you know, the little five-year-old draws a picture, by nighttime it's graffiti by teenagers. So you're walking into classrooms that are plain and bare and usually a little bit destroyed because you have such different age groups. So that was one of the challenges. So I knew that the outdoor space was the only space that we could create something that could belong to all children from all the ages. So I asked, I would teach children for 3 days an introduction to permaculture, which, like I said, is basically designing for human habitat. And they were asked to design what would be their favorite school, how would it look like. And of course, little kids are really radical. They just, you know, want giant, you know, a giant elephant swing. And I'm there, who's ever seen an elephant here? They're like, no. But that's what they wanted. And of course, they dreamt really high. And then the other two classrooms, the other 2 years, would help put the design into perspective. After we had the design, it was time for movement. So I invited, and we had some really cool directors of schools. They let us do whatever we want. So we literally went smashing concrete, because a lot of the schools that we worked in, they had no grass and the play area is just concrete. And the children will, all ages, we invited every single child to participate. And if you want to see a change on the planet happen really quickly, you put 800 kids working. Man, they are like ants. They're like zoom, 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 zoom. You give a job and they just like finish it in half an hour. Not like my ECHO team, you give a job and they take 3 days to finish it. ECHO team, where are you? So, you know, they redesigned and recreated a new space in 3 days. And unfortunately, I don't have many pictures with me, but you can see the happiness. This photo became famous in Brazil. Somehow it leaked out and became national, on a national magazine, which I got told off by the parents because it wasn't authorized. But you know, you can see the happiness and the sense of freedom that the children had redesigning their future. They become the architects of their space, and it's an amazing project. I'm going to throw the ball now to Thomas, because we're going to look at a different area now. So the work that I do is very physical, like I said, smashing concrete, planting trees, making ponds. Working with Super Adobe, if anyone knows what Super Adobe is, it's earth bag buildings, and they make their own seats and things like that. So in 3 days, and children are very resourceful. We didn't have soil. Some little kid would ring up his dad, "Dad, bring soil to the school now," and dad came. So it was amazing how quickly that they networked with the community to get what they wanted. So I'll throw you over to Thomas now.
Thank you. So I would like to start with an exercise with you before starting my presentation. It's just a very short meditation just for you to understand what actually we are doing with the kids. You can just stay exactly as you are. It's just about closing the eyes and feeling just a little bit of silence. So you can close your eyes. And just for a moment, I want you to become aware of the place where you are. Simply without any thought, you simply witness and feel the place you are right now. Becoming aware also of your body with your legs crossed or your hands. Bring your attention to your body now. and slowly shift your attention to your breath. So with your eyes closed, you feel the air coming in and you feel the air going out. Forget everything, simply focus on your breath. Concentrate, keep focusing on the breath, let everything else disappear. Witnessing the present moment, hearing the sounds that we are hearing right here, right now, any sound you hear. And slowly I want to shift your attention to the center of your chest. Where is your heart chakra, energy of your heart? Shift your attention to the center of your chest. Feeling the connection with the inner self, inwards. Feeling the peace of that place, serenity. Feeling good in that place. Slowly, you can open the eyes, coming back. So, in my opinion, one of the most important things in our life is to understand who we are. Not your name, not your country. I'm not talking about external things. I'm talking about who you really are. The thing that is behind the background of all the scenario, your name, your nationality, everything that you we think we are, there's something in the background. And meditation is a very good tool to take you and to connect with yourself. It's like the blue sky. We have the weather, we have rain, we have sun, we have clouds coming and going, but the blue sky is always there, witnessing all these changes. It's like we are the universe. The universe is inside of us. So meditation helps us to connect with this stillness, with this silence, which is quite unique and which we all share. So you can only do this if you calm down the thoughts process. During one day, there are around 90,000 thoughts in the mind, which many times 70% are negative. So to connect with your inner self in this world outside all of this information, you can only connect if you come to silence. The other day I was reading a thing about Einstein, and he said that all the truths he discovered were in silence, not doing the mathematics and all this stuff, but quietly in silence. So it's in silence, through silence, which you can really know who you are. And when many things come, Osho said, like, learn to be alone, learn to go in a somewhere and to stay alone with yourself. That's a very important thing in life. So we try to do these things with the kids, but nowadays it's kind of difficult because they have such too much information, too much iPads, too much phones, and their minds are going like crazy, millions of thoughts. So how can a teacher teach mathematics or history or Portuguese or anything else to a kid if his mind is constantly shifting from this to this to this to millions of thoughts? So what we are trying to do is just coming back, closing the eyes, taking this minute of silence in school. I want you to try to do another exercise, which is very short. I want you to, all of you, raise your arm. Any arm, left or right, or both arms, as you wish. Now we say to the arm, stay here. You order your arm to stay there. Okay, you can put the arm down. And now I want you, all of you, to close the eyes and say to your mind in the next 10 seconds to stay there, quiet. Okay, can open the eyes. So if any, it's kind of strange, right? If any of you said, okay, I did, my mind was quiet, you are a liar. Okay, I'm sorry. But it's quite impossible to do this in these conditions now. So we need to understand this. We need to understand that only through a quiet mind is possible to grow in a healthy and natural way. So we need to accept how the world is. First step in spirituality is acceptance. So we accept, okay, we're living in this information technology world, moving at this speed, like crazy speed, okay, we understand it. But now let's take some action, because it's acceptance is not like, I was in a spiritual retreat meditation and the Guruji was talking about acceptance, and he told us acceptance is not like, okay, I'm with a pain in my stomach. Okay, I accept the pain and I stay there, okay, and then continue with the pain. No, acceptance is not this. Acceptance is, okay, I'm feeling such a pain in my stomach, but I'm going to take something to take care of my stomach. So we need to work towards the things. We accept the world the way it is, but okay, let's do something, because we all want to live in a better world. So starting here my presentation, first I think we can go through the video. Yes, if you have the video, I'm just going to show you a short video about the project and then explain a little bit how the project is in schools. I won't take very long, and then we go through this conversation with you. I want you also you to participate, think how can we educate in a better way to have a better future. So continue mindful if you want, listening to the sounds while we wait. It's great exercise, actually. Sometimes just stop, like feeling where you are, centering yourself, and just actually hearing boom, it's even more special when you close the eyes and you just feel this amazing vibration, the place you are, it just all your skin starts going chicken skin. Yeah, okay. Let's see the video.
Eu li uma mensagem do Dalai Lama a dizer que se nós ensinarmos meditação às crianças, a crianças a partir dos 8 anos, que vamos conseguir eliminar a guerra e a violência na próxima geração. Este projeto chama-se Little Buddha, ou Pequeno Buda, e tem como objetivo trazer a meditação até às escolas. A ideia é passar a mensagem às crianças sobre a meditação, ensiná-las a meditar com uma técnica bastante simples, fazer com que as crianças ganhem concentração, poder de estar totalmente focados e presentes no agora. Todas elas no final dizem que estão mais calmas, mais tranquilas, se sentem melhores. Alguns deles até diziam que quando abriam os olhos estavam a ver melhor. Espalhar o projeto para mais escolas, por mais crianças, seguir esse ensinamento, essa mensagem que Dalai Lama nos trouxe, que foi isso realmente que nos fez começar este projeto, com o grande objetivo de conseguirmos estarmos todos sem violência, sem guerra, conseguirmos todos viver em paz, que é o que mais precisamos neste momento no nosso planeta.
Thanks. So we can go through the presentation now, just for you to understand a little bit how this works, because it's not easy to, if you want to go in a big scale, it's not easy to put the project in many schools, because I'm only one, and well, I'm starting to develop a team. But if you are working with 10 schools, like 5,000 kids, it's not so easy to go through this. But I will explain you how we are doing. So we can go through the next slide. The first slide I chose was growing a seed, because the connection with agriculture and kids, because what we want is meditation and not medication. So it's like what we want is organic food, and we don't want GMO and toxic food. So this is kind of similar, growing healthy kids. Yes. So yeah, we can pass this slide also, and going to the next one. This was a phrase of the Dalai Lama said that inspired us to start. If every 8-year-old kid in the world is taught meditation, we will eliminate violence from the world within one generation, which is quite a strong saying. And yeah, we can move on. So the mission of the project is that all the schools in the world can teach meditation to kids. So this project is not something new, actually. It's new in Portugal, but not new in many other countries. In many countries in the world, meditation is already in schools. What I did was just bring it to Portugal, starting something new in Portugal, because there was nothing here. So our mission is to grow and to go all over. And the next slide is about the vision to create evolution in the educational system so that the kids can grow in a healthy and natural way, and we can all live in a peaceful world. I think we all share this information, and it's exactly about what we are talking about. So again, here, why do we want to teach meditation to schools? I think we all know this. I already talked about this a little bit. But one of the main things, it's about the focusing, the problem that kids have, they have difficulty in focusing in one subject. Well, we all have human adults, kids, so, but kids, we can still teach them. Imagine how good it was if we, like all of we, taught us meditation in the school. So where we were children, teachers were teaching us meditation. Was quite, I wish I had that. So this is a thing that I took from a newspaper, that it says that our attention span is now shorter than a goldfish. So it means that, it says here, the average attention span for the, well, I can't hear, is 9 seconds. Okay, so we are shorter. They did a test, and human beings more or less is like 8 seconds. So if you are with attention until now, you are doing very good. Otherwise, don't worry, it's quite normal, but it's kind of okay. We need to take a little bit awareness of what's happening, because the technology and all of this speeding information that we get all over, it's good, but at the same point we need to know how to use the brain, which is very important. This was a part. What happens is the main parents, when they have the teachers, when the teachers go to a parent and say that, oh, your kid is not going so well, not having so good marks, is not paying attention in the school, and the parents are like, whoa, so what should I do? I want my kid to have success. What can I do for it? And the teacher says, oh, maybe you should take it to the doctor. And you go to a hospital, and the doctor, the first thing he said is, okay, you take this Concerta or many other medicines that there are. This is from a big newspaper in Portugal, and says that kids are consuming 5 million of calming like medicines to calm down, which is quite very alarming, because what happens is when you take these medicines, you create dependence, and you are altering your natural way of growing. So, which is many people that took these medicines when they were younger, they are still taking this. So it's kind of laying down, because you are a kid, you are super active, but then you take the pill and the pill just calms you down and you stay focused and you can do maybe better your job, but just for short moments, like drugs. You take it, but it affects you one moment, but then it goes away. But then you start creating dependence. So you take it, it's nice, so you start taking and taking and taking, until one day you are totally addicted to these things. So what we want, the solution, sorry, my slides here are a bit strange in this computer, but the solution is exactly this, what I was talking about, meditation. meditation is like a homeopathic, can be seen in this world of medicines and things like homeopathic medicine for the kids, because it's such a simple, natural way of doing. Everyone can do meditation in any place in the world, everywhere in the world, at any time in the world. You can just close your eyes and meditate. The doctors, they are not telling this in the hospitals because they don't want us to know this, and they just want to sell medicines of the pharmaceutics and all these lobbies that we know that exist. So they don't say that, okay, if you want to calm down your kid, there is meditation, which is very nice. It doesn't cost anything, so you can do it anywhere, any place. So this is our solution. We can go through the next slide, which I will explain very shortly how the program works exactly in the schools. So we can go through these slides, even we cannot read it very well. You can pass these two next slides. It's about this. When I show these presentations, this slide is just to show to the directors of the school. You see, there was UCLA, the big university in LA. They did a research, a study with the schools that are applying meditation, and the results were just amazing. Yeah, everyone was happier. The teachers, the kids, they were a lot more calmer. They had better marks, and well, this just shows how good it is. Because many times when I go to the schools and say, hey, I want to teach meditation in your school, they're like, what? What is that? I don't know if that works, blah, blah, blah. But nowadays there are millions of studies proving that meditation really works. It's again, like I was saying, homeopathic medicines, they don't work instantly like this. You cannot see the results of meditation in week or year, maybe. It's a thing that takes some time. So, and it's a thing that you believe. In the schools that I'm working, I don't see like direct effects, but I feel it when I go to the classroom and I do the meditation with the kids. I really feel it in my heart that they are happy doing this, that they are accepting, which is the most precious gift I can have, is like seeing the kids with the eyes closed, which is something unbelievable. The kids that are growing now in these last years, their consciousness is so much more evolved than our consciousness that we were born some years ago. Everything is changing so fast. It's incredible to see them closing the eyes. And it's supposed for them to do every day. And when the teacher doesn't do the meditation with them, they are quite angry. They come, when I go to the school and I ask, oh, you did meditation today in your classroom? And he said, no, the teacher forgot. He was like, oh, and I was like, okay, let's go and talk to that teacher and see why he's not doing the meditation. The biggest challenge of this project, of all the project with kids, is convincing the adults to do it with the kids. I need to convince millions, hundreds of teachers of doing meditation every day. So imagine a very skeptical mathematical teacher that doesn't heard about never meditation, and I go there and tell him, okay, you can do 5 minutes of meditation every day with your students. He's like, why I need to do this? Where are the numbers, you know? So the numbers are here. This is the same, so let's go to the other one. This is how the project works. The project's about meditation. The goal is bring meditation into the classroom. Every day, we want the kids to do 5 minutes of meditation. Meditation only works if you do it regularly. It's not like doing once a week meditation that is gonna work. You're gonna have some good things in the future. So you need to do it every day, only 5 minutes. So what we do is three steps program. The first step is teacher training. I go to the schools and I teach the teachers to teach meditation, to be able to teach meditation to the schools. It's super simple, super basic meditation, so everyone can simply understand it and teach it to the kids. The second step is initiating the students. So when they do for the first time, I go myself to the classroom and I present them the idea. Because they're gonna have doubts, they're gonna start asking lots of questions, so I'm better to explain than a teacher, so I go there. It's called initiation. And the third step is the updating, which means in two months I go to all the schools with my team and see how the kids are going, if they have any question, how is it going, if they are enjoying actually. So this is just a poster we put in all the classrooms for them to remember that they need to do this. We cannot see it very well here, but it explains the steps of the meditation. So we put it in all the classrooms. And the next, almost finishing. So our big friend Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. This is completely true. Like, if we want to change, we need to go to the young ones. And if we do it, we can really make change happen. So this is my last, well, not the last flyer, but the finishing of my presentation. The next flyer is about the book I'm going to release in September, which you can go for the last, I think it's the last one. Yeah, so this is a book I wrote about the project. It's now only available in Portuguese. Maybe one day we can translate it into English. But it's just about everything that I was saying here. It has exercises and it explains a little bit why do we need so much to start working with the kids in this way. Not just meditation, I also talk a bit about alternative models of education, permaculture, many ways we can go, arts, painting, many ways we can go and teach them to connect better with themselves. So this is the finish. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you have questions, go ahead. Yeah.
Right now, where is the school that you're working on?
They are all in Portugal. We started with one school, now we have five schools. They are all in Portugal. They are all private schools because we want to go to public schools, but first we need to have a big group of private, and then we go to the education and public education.
Where specifically?
Like, oh, okay. They are all in Lisbon, and one is in Palmela.
Can you tell me the name in Lisbon? Because I live there as a social activity.
Yeah, it's one is called Parque, which is in is one in Cascais, another one in Lisbon. Another one is the American School. Another one is International Warrior School. Another one is called St. Peter School, which is in Palmela. And the last one is called Associação de Escolas Jardim de Deus. You are Portuguese?
I'm Brazilian.
Oh, okay, so you understand a bit. Which is it's mixed public, mixed private, this one. And they have 30 schools all over Portugal. So maybe now we're gonna work with these schools, maybe next year we can present the project to the Minister of Education.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
There's a question. That woke you up, huh? Hello.
Did you say, is this a question?
Yes.
Okay. I was more going to share something about alternative education, but if you prefer the question.
No, go for it.
Okay. Hello. You may have heard of Rudolf Steiner education. To give a small bit of information, it's a deeply anthroposophical education that's based upon like a threefold daily rhythm, so working with the head and the heart and the hands, so using the head with your intellect and then using your will, your hands, so lots of creating, and then your heart, so your feeling. And as a teacher in Steiner schools, you're invited to bring this threefold head, heart and hands to each lesson. I work in a Steiner Academy in Bristol in the UK, and this is a free Steiner school. So before, Steiner schools were just for people who can afford to pay. So the Steiner Academy is fantastic because it's no longer just for privileged families that can afford to pay. Something that I teach the children, which is quite similar, is something called wet on wet painting, and it's a technique unique to Steiner schools, where you start with a piece of paper that is completely wet, soaked in water, and then you paint watercolor on top of the paper, and this is a very there are many deeper layers meanings behind this. This because you know, if you try and paint a straight line on this sheet of paper, it's just the colour goes everywhere, and so it teaches the children patience, and it teaches them to strengthen their will, and it really strengthens themselves, because if you you go through life with a solid plan, and like the paint on the paper, you know, it just goes everywhere. You don't really have control of it. So you begin to learn. The children begin to learn to let go and things. So through these meditative practices that is brought every day. And also I was going to say, we've been looking for a meditative practice, someone to bring mindfulness to the school, so if you are feeling about coming to Bristol, we would love to have you there, I think. Yeah.
As I said before, I've been at Boom for 6 editions, and I do Vipassana meditation, but I also take substances to alter my brain, because I want to unlock all the boxes I spent 50 years, okay, I told you my age, 50 years tying up and keeping closed, and they're really fucking hard to open. And I've had to have some serious chunga sessions and ayahuasca sessions to open up the box, see what I stored, and throw the crap away. There's some moments meditation for me doesn't get there, because we've had childhood traumas or teenage traumas and things that were just too hurtful or disgusting to deal with, so we just store it away. So one of my new obsessions is about freedom of thoughts. And a part of that challenge, I think, with freedom of thought comes ethics. I mean, a lot of you people think you're probably pretty cool and the rest of it, but if you, at dinner time and lunchtime, just check out the restaurant. Just check out the restaurant, how a bunch, you know, 3,000 people who are looking for an alternative psychedelic experience trash the place. Okay, and for me, something that you said just sort of triggered a thought. I'm going, yeah, that is beautiful and spontaneous, and children can do that. So why can't we do that? You know, why can't we create that creative space without having to take drugs? Because I need to take drugs. not all the time, but you know, boom time is a good time. And that's, I think, a really challenging thing. So it's, for me, it's about not just mindfulness, it's about bringing in the ethics as well. The ethics of moving in a space, because you may be mindful maybe for that 5 minutes, or if you're lucky, longer, but what takes that mindfulness throughout the whole day? And part of the today's questions is to you guys. What experiences made you feel completely free? And how can we carry that on? And how can we teach that to kids? So we don't spend, if you're going to have children, or if you have children, you don't spend the next 10 years, 15 years locking up their mind. So they have to get to my age and do some serious work to unlock the mind and hopefully get there before I cuck it, before I die. So yeah, that's the question out. So while you're throwing questions out to us, the question goes back out to you. What experiences made you feel completely free, even as a child, and how do we replicate that experience in mass? Because basically the new generation of children are the children that are going to look after you, and most of them are attached to this. I can see on the dance floor, I'm impressed that people are dancing like, yeah, and then I check the messages and they, what the, you know, where are we going to? We're at a psychedelic festival, people are checking their messages, you know, and I asked the guy, what the fuck are you doing? He said, I'm just seeing my friend, where my friend is. And okay, that's fair enough. You can, you know, it's modern technology, but it's like, you know, how are we going to be free from this? Because these kids are going to be looking after you guys. You guys are going to be looking after me, so I think I might be okay. But the kids are going to be looking after you guys. So the question is, if we could, like, you know, if you could give experiences as well, I'm sure it would enrich our work. Hold it like Madonna.
Hi. Okay, to answer the question, my first thing which set me really free was when I'm doing meditation for something roughly 3 or 4 years, and some therapy, a really helps me a lot. I don't want to be free from my mobile devices because I live in the net since 20 years and it's just my way. But I actually wanted to ask a question, but before that, I'm also a person which takes a lot of Medicaid each day. Well, I don't need it here because for me it's just a tool to adopt me to the world which isn't made for me. But my question is, I have a little kid and I know it is the same. It is roughly, it has the same condition that I am, but it's not condition, it's just my way. And my question is, on what age do you think it's good to start teaching meditations to kids? Because at the moment he's 3 and it's not so easy to teach him that.
Yeah, the first thing we need to understand is that there are two types of meditation. There is one type of meditation which is related with relaxation, which you can do with very small kids until like until 8 years old. And then the second style of meditation is meditation of focusing the mind, which you should start around 7-8 years old. The project, the Little Buddha project, is only for kids with from 8 years old up, because it's about focusing the mind, like focusing on the breath, counting the breathings. So if you teach this to a 5-year-old kid, it's going to be a bit difficult. So, but you can do it from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can do the relaxation meditation, like laying down in the ground, like guiding them, like those types of meditation which are like storytelling. Like, now imagine you are floating and things like this, and it's very good because they really relax. So two types of meditation. Yes. Thanks.
I also practice with my daughter sending messages to each other when she was about 3, which was a lot of fun and it actually works. You get to be really zoom, zoom, zoom. It wasn't good when she started having her first sexual experiences. I was like, okay, I got to block this out. Time to close. Okay, Lila, close that door. Oh, we got lots of questions over here.
Yeah.
And back there. And
so you ask experience. So for me, it was when I felt free every time when I dance. Not here because it's a little bit too hot. So I want to be really also feel myself. So but and I try also to open my boxes, but without tracks. I was really surprised. I'm first time here. And. Because, and I was wondering, everyone is smoking, the same you said, you know. But then I remember the work I did with Byron Katie. It's a wonderful woman from California, 72, and she created the work. It's good to write down, she has a web page, because of Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. So every thought you put on someone else, like, oh shit, why he is smoking, you can put to yourself why I'm judging him or where I'm smoking in my head. So it's about respect, about other people, even because everything is a mirror. And I also felt free when I meditate or when I'm doing meditation. And one thing is, I think at this world we drive crazy because everything went so fast. We have no patience to wait when it's time to open the box by themselves or by working on ourselves. We put something to compensate things or to take drugs to get earlier there. It's the same at the market, so or not the market, but at work and everything, you know. I think one point is also to get more relaxed and patient, and that we can also open boxes without drugs, without hurt our stuff. Even this loud music sounds to me sometimes like hurting our body or me. So I cannot speak for me. So. Yeah, but enjoy really this festival, so this kind of things, and to see these friendly people. So, but yeah,
it's a point for me why you try to be so fast to open boxes.
Well, it really is different cultures, I think, because what we're talking, I mean, what I think I can hear you saying is that it's a Buddhist perspective, maybe an Asian perspective. I was living in the Brazil for 16 years. It's a very shamanic perspective, and you're on the other side of the world, forest, animals. It's a different vibe. Okay, it's different cultures, and obviously different cultures will offer you a different vibe. And the vibe that I was offered was bring it out, chuck it out. Okay, and also I think it's also a very personal thing, because each of us, as I said, carry our own baggage, and our childhood traumas or teenage traumas or whatever are very different. Some of us were lucky enough to grow up in safe houses, some of us weren't so lucky. So I think I don't want to wait for my boxes to unravel. You know, I am an impatient person. So I'll be like, if I could stick my hand into my head and pull one out, I would, you know, and I'd be like, undo it like one of these boxes. I'm not, even though I do love Asian, and like I said, I do practice Vipassana, for me, it wasn't quick enough. My first Vipassana was 25 years ago. That's a long time. And I was like, nope, I need fast tracking. So yeah, it helps me. The shamanic experience of either ayahuasca or changa helps me get down deep or actually not get down deep. It's actually to spiral up to see what I can sort out quickly and throw away. Baggage I don't want and I don't need. Perfect timing for me. Question.
I have a question about the Little Buddha project. How was...
Where are you?
Yep.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, I see.
How was your experience in relationship to the parents? Because I imagine my parents would be very skeptic if they now teach meditation or something related to spiritual practices at schools.
Yeah, that's a good question. But to be honest, until today, we didn't have any parent coming to us saying, like, what are you doing to my kid? Mm. Nothing. The only thing we have sometimes in some schools, and so that some parents look a little bit like what, it's because of the name. It has Buddha. The project has Little Buddha. Like they associate it a lot with Buddhism, with like this tradition. So it's even for us a bit challenging to go to the Catholic schools and introduce them the project. So this is, but then I try to explain them. This is just a name, like Buddha. You can call it whatever you want. That's not about the name, about the word, you know. But some people still stay a little bit there in the words and names. But until today, no, nothing about parents. Only good things, actually.
That's good.
Thanks.
Hello, Thomas. Nice to see you again. I would like to make a point in the. Something that they told before about the kids and the kids. I remember when I was young and I was very rebel, and they put me in school and I didn't like school. And at six, I went to school at five actually, and they put me in school at five. And I was realizing that my present is going to disappear into space time of past and future, because I don't know if you know, but children, they live in the present moment. That's why it's very difficult to teach them meditate until five or six. So at six they put us in school so we can be in an orthogonal way of military, and they destroy our present and our meditation, our way of measure action. So I believe it's important to teach after six or seven, when they are realizing they are in space time and they can go depressed with the past and anxious with the future. But I think it's very important so they can understand when they are in the present till six or five, they can live in the eternal present even after they realize they have a space-time between past and future. So I think you said that you are working more and it's more easy, and you always go in the easy way to take drugs or this or that to realize something. But I believe we can teach them since they are really small to understand the present and to stay measuring all their lives, so something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kids. They live totally in the present when they are young, but then the ego comes and it, like, all the confusion comes and it's a bit more difficult to them to stay in this present, because it's society, we live in this world. What can we do? Yeah, accept and work on it. Thanks. Thank you.
Hi. Should I speak? Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. Thank you for an amazing talk and everything. When I first graduated from my MA and was thinking, what should I do? I studied social anthropology of development. And I found the Green School in Bali, which they were doing meditation with kids. And I was like, this is amazing. I applied, didn't have enough experience, couldn't go. And then I went to Spain to teach in a primary school. But the experience we had there was amazing with some kids during the summer camps. We got them to sort of relax during the end of the whole like day of walking around doing activities. We had 5 minutes of like lying down, put some music on, and that really helped. Another thing that I just wanted to mention, you said what made us feel great when we were kids. I think everyone here would answer being in nature and making music, or having like free time when you can go and paint and explore. For the last 3 years, I've been the national director for the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award, which is very well known in the UK as the DOV, or the Duke of Edinburgh's Award. I wish the name was something different. I wish it was something, it's sometimes known as the Youth Award Programme or the Youth International Award Programme. But the whole goal is to give young people between the ages of 14 and 24 like life experiences as opposed to formal education. And one of the great things that they do with that programme too is take them on adventurous journey, take people on adventurous journeys, the young kids between 14 and 24, the children, and they, you know, allow them to sort of camp and explore, make their own routes, etc. And I think that's also another thing that could be well implemented. The whole meditation in schools could be used through programs like this, where it's required that kids have to do skills, physical recreation, etc. So that's why I wanted to mention it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, both. Thanks for this really inspirational and fantastic talk. My name's Tom. I actually had a question for you, Lucy, if possible. You mentioned at the beginning of your presentation about flipping the hierarchy around, essentially, from, you know, being top down, you know, being governed by teachers and the elders, essentially, and, you know, taking it from a more grassroots approach, and the kids actually organizing at various levels throughout the school. I was wondering maybe if you could, this really, really interests me, it's very powerful. And I was wondering maybe if you could expand on this, or if there's a specific methodology you use, or, I was wondering maybe if you could expand on that. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll just flip back a few years ago. I think I was around 28 years of age in Australia, and I was asked to be a manager of a youth centre that had that encouraged runaway youth to visit, and then I would help them with survival skills on how to live on the fringe of society. Okay, so we weren't trying to reintroduce them. It was like, okay, how can you survive on the fringe of society? And it was really interesting. It was called 98% Young. And we agreed that they would be my boss. I had 13 young people from the age of 12 to 23, round table, and they were my boss. They directed all of my work. And that was a really interesting experience, because it's really interesting being bossed around by a 13-year-old. And part of that process was that I needed to teach them facilitation skills. How do you facilitate so you can make me as your, now your worker, and if you guys are going to be my boss, how can you facilitate my process so I'm more effective in the community helping young people? And from that experience, when I went to Brazil, that I based it on the experience that I had in Australia. So I went to schools, and part of the design process is teaching kids how to design physical spaces, but how to design community as well, because bullying is a large part of schools nowadays, unfortunately. So it was, if we could teach
even the quiet kids how to facilitate a process in the physical process and the community process, the project would be successful. Because I would only basically spend 3 days in a school and then visit once a month. Okay, so we made a radical change, and then the children would have to look after that that experience. And that meant facilitating community. So they broke off into small groups, and it was a bit like the sociocracy model, where even though they may not have the skills, they were interested either in natural building, they were interested in gardening, they were interested in mosaic, they were interested in art. And then from that, they also had a larger committee. The most dangerous part of this program was teachers. They were all always trying to hijack the process. Because Brazil has an interesting methodology for schools. At first I thought it was really radical and really dramatic, democratic, is that every 2 years the teachers will vote for the director, a new director. And I was like, wow, that is just so advanced. This is amazing. I worked in a school for 4 years, and you know, unfortunately, the teachers weren't taught how to facilitate. So every new director would just wipe out the work of the other director. So it wasn't a growing experience. So I had to teach the children how to lobby and how to create social action. When the new director came in, if she was, because why say she? Because most of the schools in Brazil are filled with women. If she was going to come in and destroy the work of the other director, how do you create a social action to stop that teacher? So I got pretty radical. I wasn't very popular in the town with the adults, but the kids loved me. They thought I rocked. Because we didn't only teach them gardening or permaculture skills. It was community, it was social action, and it was facilitating the process. And empowering young people, it's amazing. I left the town several years ago. I went back, they all grew up. I didn't recognize half of the kids I work with. But once they said, oh, hi, I used to work with you. And I would ask them, what are you doing now? And they were in quite important little jobs in the town. So, you know, they took the experience to a different level. You know, the seed was planted, basically, if we follow the cliche. And, you know, that's important. But teaching about social action is also really important, because you need to shake the society up, and children, when they're together, are really scary. You know, Lord of the Flies, read it if you haven't. But taking that in a positive aspect of social action. Answered it?
I think we are almost at 2 o'clock.
Let me check my phone.
I would like to finish with one last exercise, just 1 minute exercise. What's time?
It's 2 o'clock.
Two. Okay, very quick exercise to finish.
Just quickly, there was no other burning question that somebody is going to like jump in the lake if they don't know the answer? No? Cool. Yes. Oh, there is a burning. Anna has a burning question. Echo team. Woo-hoo!
What about the film La Belle Verte, The Green Beautiful? That for me is an inspiration, telepathy lessons, yes. To play, to sleep in the ground.
Yeah. Who hasn't seen that film, La Belle Verte? Oh, you have to, it's a classic French film. If you're interested in you know, how to talk to somebody when you're not talking. They give you some really good hints. I actually, after I saw that film, that's when I started practicing with Lila.
Thank you. So can we go just for, we are 2 o'clock, so I think we need to finish. 30 seconds exercise to finish this beautiful talk. I want you to find a partner, but maybe not a friend that is with you, a stranger. Maybe you just need to turn back, and we can do eye contact just for 30 seconds. So eye contact is just sitting in front of a person. And I can do with Lucy. And just staring in the eyes, let's just finish with this very nice exercise, 30 seconds of eye contact.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. And like I said, we have one of the elders of permaculture here. Grab him when you can, huh? He's a good one for good stories. Have a good afternoon.